much. Let's get to our guest, Selena Xia, Greater China Equity Research Head at Credit Suisse Wealth Management. Selena, I know you've been looking at geopolitical risks, so I want to start off with a question about that. China only fired missiles after Nancy Pelosi left. Should we take that as a good thing? I mean, it seems to imply that China wants to avoid direct confrontation with the U.S. Should we look at it that way, or is it an overall negative?
I would think we'd take it quite neutrally. Basically, when there's no direct conflict between the states and China, we think that the worst could have been over with the policy visit to Taiwan. So we are not too nervous about the situation, and we are taking it quite neutrally, actually, at this point.
Well, let's take a look at the economic fundamentals in China. We had that record trade surplus, but a number of headwinds as well. Do you put an asterisk next to that number?
I think that number actually had gotten us by surprise on the positive end. So we take it quite positively. We would look for more data to come through in the next 1 or 2 months before we turn very bullish about the situation. But we are actually quite positive about the situation. And asterisk beside it, we'll look more into the data and we'll look more into our forecast in terms of revising our prediction on the export number.
You've got an interesting comment that you think that COVID lockdowns, the impact from it, are basically priced in. Defend that.
We are actually seeing some moderating or flexibility in terms of the lockdowns these days. Firstly, we're seeing flights that's flying into various cities in China. Of course, there's still suspension, and zero COVID is still going to be the major target for the party or the government in China. Having said that, we're seeing more flexibility as a whole. So especially when we're seeing that the CPI number can trend up, that means that the consumption tolerance on price rises are going to be there. So we think that firstly, in terms of equity valuation, Hong Kong, the whole valuation is quite undemanding compared to especially the rest of the world. And that said, I think therefore the market has taken into account the COVID lockdown as a whole in mainland and also in Hong Kong.
Well, you mentioned inflation in China. We will have the latest numbers for July out on Wednesday. What are you expecting there?
We're expecting a moderate upturn in CPI. So we are expecting consumer or the consumption situation in China to be a little bit more positive compared to last month.
We have a column called China Today on the terminal, which is usually quite interesting. And today it features a kind of dual trap, two traps for President Xi Jinping. One we've already talked about a little bit. It's the Thucydides trap, that there will eventually be confrontation between the U.S. and China, as the U.S. will probably be a falling power and China will rise above. That's somewhere down the road, and we've chatted about that just momentarily. What about the other trap, which he says is a debt trap? It's one reason why the PBOC just doesn't really have the gumption to really stimulate here.
I think, in fact, before the major Communist Party meeting that should be coming up in the fourth quarter or the end of the third quarter this year, before then, we do not expect major actions in terms of stimulus or otherwise, because that meeting would take a priority for the government. And in terms of measures, whether or not PBOC would be able or capable to launch other stimulus, I think they are capable of launching further stimulus. But in terms of priority, we do need to see that meeting come through first.
Does that mean that you think there will be stimulus, but it'll have to be after the party Congress?
I think major actions would have to be taken after the meeting. But before the meeting, there can be minor actions that can be taken by the government. For example, we've seen the removal of the purchase tax for the autos. So the actions like that can actually happen before the meeting. But major actions would have to happen after the meeting.
Okay, so major actions. What are we talking about here?
Major actions, including the lowering of the rates, probably RR rates, interest rates, and things like that.
And what is the key, in your view, Selena, on getting at the major issues in the property sector? I mean, what is it that's really causing the property market to sputter?
I think fundamentally, the real estate market in China is overdue for consolidation. It's been way too fragmented in the sector, and therefore some kind of a consolidation is already overdue, and therefore the government needs to manage the situation, and we do expect consolidation in that sector, and therefore the stronger developers would become stronger, or the leading developers would become stronger over the long run, and the smaller ones, the weaker ones, would be eliminated. So as a whole, over the medium and long run, the whole sector should become more positive rather than negative.
More generally, when you run your eye across equities in China, are there any quality names that are looking oversold to you?
There are sectors that's looking more interesting at this point. For example, consumer discretionary, like what we said, CPI is likely going to trend up a little bit. That said, consumers are more ready to take up price rises in order for the CPI to go up. And therefore, consumer discretionary may look interesting. And consumer staples sector would also look interesting when the consumer consumption power can become slightly stronger than previously.
Hmm. Interesting. Selena, thanks very much for joining us. I'm trying to get my head around that as property prices fall and as that sector consolidates, as you say, whether or not the reverse wealth effect is affecting people and their abilities to buy. But we'll save that for another day. Selena Sia, Greater China Equity Research Head at Credit Suisse Wealth Management.